This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I'm going to ask that you don't consider putting a call in, because we're not going to have too much time with Ken Timmerman, but we want to talk about his latest book, Countdown to Crisis, The Coming Nuclear Showdown with Iran. I think it's a very important book. We will carry the book because, of course, Mr. Timmerman has come to the same conclusions that I have, and that is that there are a lot of things that have gone on that just don't make sense in our relationships with Iran through the years. So I'm going to let him tell you a little bit about his book. Thank you so very much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me on, Stan. I really appreciate it.
Well, why don't you, of course, you've done a lot of first-hand investigative reporting. That's sort of a lost art these days. But I had a feeling, as I read your book, that you were scratching your head saying, why was it that time after time the CIA refused to address the threat of Iran going back to the early 1980s and seemed to be doing everything they could to, in many ways, throw you off the track?
Well, that's right, and there are a lot of stories that I tell in the book of missed opportunities and intelligence failures, defectors who have walked in to talk to the CIA and provide the CIA with information, and they were just rejected out of hand, and it really is hard to understand. Let me just perhaps give a flavor of this for our listeners and tell you one story. One of the sources that I've spent a lot of time with over the past 2 years, his name is Hamid Reza Zakari. He's a defector from Iranian intelligence. This is a man who risked his life to come out and warn the CIA in July of 2001 of an impending huge attack against America by Iran and its Arab al-Qaeda allies. And this is a man who was a physical eyewitness to meetings between top deputies of Osama bin Laden and Iranian government officials in Iran in January and May of 2001. These were planning sessions for the September 11th attacks. And Mr. Zakari came out. He went to a U.S. embassy in Baku, Azerbaijan. He walked in. He asked to speak to the station chief of the CIA. The woman put him in a safe house for several days. They debriefed him. Somebody came from Washington to listen to him, and they blew him off. They just blew him off. They were not interested in his intelligence. He was a human source. They couldn't deal with it. They didn't know how to separate what was true from what might have been fiction.
And, of course, he was really talking about the September 11th attack.
Oh, absolutely. And he gave the date. And he gave the date of the attack.
He gave the date of the attack, and the CIA knew it. And, of course, they did nothing. But, you know, then, of course, you go look back in time. They knew the attack was coming on the Marine barracks back in October of 1983. And somehow that report just sort of got lost somewhere along the line.
And this is one of the tragedies of our intelligence system. Now, that's another story that I tell in the book. There was an intercept before that attack in October of 1983 from the Iranian government to their ambassador in Damascus ordering the attack on the U.S. Marines in Beirut. And the intercept was picked up like 3 or 4 weeks before the attack, but it was lost up the chain of command. We are so bloated with this today, what is a $40 billion a year intelligence establishment. We are so bloated. There's so much so many layers of bureaucracy that the real information doesn't get through to the decision makers.
But of course, even more amazing was when they knew that all these Marines had been killed, over 200, close to 280 of them, and then of course they knew the Iranians had ordered this. Why, why the information never got to the Secretary of the Defense, Caspar Weinberger, so we could make a retaliation. If we'd retaliated and the Iranians had known we meant business, we might have not had September 11th. So why was that?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. When the terrorists hit you, you need to hit back. You need to cut off the possibility of future attacks. And we didn't do it in 1983, and that just invited terrorists to hit us again, and they did.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Kenneth Timmerman. He has written a book, Countdown to Crisis, The Coming Nuclear Showdown with Iran. Let me repeat that. Kenneth, Countdown to Crisis, The Coming Nuclear Showdown with Iran. And, of course, Ken has been an investigative reporter. Are you still with the Washington Times?
No, they closed down Insight magazine. Now I'm just writing books and enjoying doing that.
Well, I think that we will benefit, of course, for the information you're getting out. But we followed Kenneth's articles for many years, and of course, have interviewed him on his previous book. But this is probably, to me, is really the most important one, because I think that there is no question that we are going at least to have some sort of a nuclear strike on Iran. And the implications of this, I think, are frightening, and yet, of course, if we don't do it, it perhaps is even more frightening. And Ken was just telling, that the number of intercepts, why our government was told about the attack on the World Trade Center long, long before the attack came by defectors from Iran. They even gave it the exact date, and they refused to do anything about it. They knew the attack earlier, almost 20 years earlier, 18 years earlier, on the Marine barracks. They knew it was coming. They did nothing about it, and they didn't retaliate. That's what's so amazing. So let's get your thoughts on what's going to happen as far as Iran, because certainly they're doing everything they can to obtain the bomb. Can we let them obtain the bomb?
No, we cannot let them obtain the bomb, but guess what? It may just be too late. The Iranian nuclear weapons program, which I track in the book, has been going on for 20 years. And guess what? The man in charge, Hashemi Rafsanjani, is the same man who is being called a wonderful moderate by the mainstream media here in this country, and they expect him to be elected again to president on June the 17th in these elections that are coming up. I actually call them a selection, not an election, because all eight candidates were selected by the regime. So it really doesn't matter who wins on June 17th. The regime wins with whatever candidate comes on top.
But was it... What's even more interesting from what you said was that he's one of the wealthiest men in all of Iran, and his son is operating businesses in Las Vegas.
Right.
Why would we allow one of the major world terrorists to be operating businesses in Las Vegas?
Because he's not on the denial list. That shows you how wonderful our intelligence operations are here in this country. It is a very serious thing. He's working in Las Vegas. He's working in Canada. The Iranian government has an extensive network of front companies in this country. They're acquiring technology here. They have sleeper cells that are preparing terrorist attacks should they decide to activate them.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and our guest this afternoon is Ken Timmerman. His latest book, Countdown to Crisis, The Coming Nuclear Showdown with Iran, and he's simply pointing out that the man, of course, who will probably be elected now to be, I guess, the president, would be Rafsanjani. Rafsanjani has actually a son who operates the Rafsanjani various things that they have, extensive land holdings and business investments in Canada and in Las Vegas. Here is a man who is one of the fathers of modern-day terrorism, and yet he's allowed to operate businesses. His son is allowed to operate businesses here in Iran, and when I expressed my amazement, what did you say, Ken?
Yeah, well, let me tell you a quick story about him, Dad. When he was 16, Rafsanjani was sent off by his parents to Qom, which was the place where you go to become a mullah, where you study theology to become a cleric. And the father told all of his friends, he said, little Ali is going to home not to become a mullah. Oh, no, he's going to home to become a king. Rafsanjani has always been interested in power. He's always been interested in money. He has two nicknames in Iran. Those who deal with him politically call him the fox, because he behaves in that particular fashion. He's always doing something behind your back. And those who deal with him financially, because, as you mentioned, he's one of the wealthiest men in Iran, they call him the shark. He was making millions of dollars already before the Islamic Revolution in 1979 by buying rundown buildings in Tehran and flipping them for a profit and a real estate investor. So this is a guy who's a businessman, but he's also a master terrorist, and, much more importantly, he is the father of Iran's nuclear weapons program.
And even more than amazing than that is why America has made special arrangements so we can import pistachios from Iran, because Rafsanjani is the major distributor of pistachios. Why would we be ineffectively financing this wicked, wicked man who was involved with the 9-1-1 attack? There's no question, reading your book, that Iran was working with Al-Qaeda, and we've known this all along. Of course, I believe Saudi Arabia was involved too, but I believe that Saudi and the Iranians have a working in agreement together because they both hate the United States. Would that be a fair statement?
It is a fair statement, and Stan, I am absolutely stunned, as always, to be on the show with you, because you pick up on things in that book that nobody else picks up on. Yes, the pistachio arrangement with Rafsanjani, absolutely. That was done by Clinton, and it was a bribe, essentially. It was a personal bribe by Bill Clinton to Rafsanjani. Clinton had an extensive effort to renew relations with Iran towards the end of his second term in 1999 and 2000. I described that in my book. He appointed a special ambassador, a guy named David Andrews, to cut a deal. And Andrews told me, and I quote him in the book, he said, you know, I didn't care what the deal was. My orders were to cut a deal and cut a check and do it quick. So pistachios were part of the bribe to Rafsanjani to get him to renew commercial and diplomatic relations with the United States as part of Bill Clinton's legacy.
And, of course, one of the other things that you point out is that there's a great deal to suggest that the wicked Osama bin Laden, at least we know his son has been over there in Iran, and it may well be that the great Osama bin Laden himself is there. Did you find any evidence to that in that direction?
I did, and one of the many intelligence defectors that I relied on for this book, whose information I tried to corroborate with other sources, and I included only that in the book, which I was able to corroborate. He described to me a meeting which took place in November of 2004, so not very long ago, in northern Iran, between Osama bin Laden himself, and top Iranian government officials. Bin Laden was seen wearing an IV. He was sick. He was receiving medical attention. He was dressed in Persian clerical garb, not as he is normally seen in the videos that we see from Al-Qaeda. And he was discussing future terrorist attacks on the United States and our allies. Well, they had an operational agreement.
Now, how can it be that a UNA would know this and that other sources that we have would know that, and our government wouldn't have any idea about that and is not telling the American people?
Well, I must tell you, this is pretty close-hold information. It's difficult to acquire. I went to really a great effort to get this information. I traveled to a number of different countries to meet with people clandestinely, to meet with eyewitnesses, and to receive material evidence and corroboration of these meetings. So this is not something that was easy to obtain, and the U.S. government, especially the CIA, has not been willing to deal with Iranian defectors with real information. I think it's an extraordinary shortcoming of our intelligence services.
Well, do you think it's a shortcoming, or do you think that there may be a different agenda? You know, as I look back through the years, back to the early 1980s, the blowing up the American embassy in Beirut, the blowing up the American barracks, and killing all of the the Marines, and then the kidnapping of the station chief over there, and his torturing in Iran, and then of course his ultimate murder. And we knew what they were doing, and yet we refused to take any action against them. I mean, you don't deal with people who are torturing your people and killing your people, you know, simply by patting them on the back and saying, well, let's just sort of forget it and go on. I mean, this is seen as a sign of weakness on the part of the Iranians, almost as if we can do anything we want to and the Americans won't fight back.
You know, I think for years, Stan, the United States saw Iranian terrorism a bit like the mosquito on the elephant's back. It was annoying. Yes, they could inflict some pain at times, but it was a minor pain compared to the hundreds of thousands and millions of troops and tens of thousands of nuclear warheads of the Soviet Empire that were all aimed at us. During the 1980s, when Ronald Reagan was president, we were fighting the Cold War, and Reagan was engaged with the principal enemy. He wanted to defeat the Soviet Empire. He did not want to have a secondary war with a country such as the Islamic Republic of Iran. The Soviet Empire is gone today, thank God. and thanks to Ronald Reagan, I think in great part. Today, now, the Islamic Republic of Iran is coming into its own as it acquires nuclear weapons capabilities. And now it is time that we face up to this threat. It's a threat that has become imminent. I use that word quite consciously. It's a state sponsor of terrorism. Their leaders vow death to America at every official meeting that they hold, and now they're armed with nuclear weapons. We can no longer afford to consider them a mosquito on the elephant's back. They are a serious threat to the well-being and the security of Americans.
Well, do you think that they have a terrorist network here in the United States that will be they'll be able to mobilize when the proper time comes?
I think they do have sleeper cells in the United States, and I've spoken to many people in the FBI who have been tracking those over the years. My fear is that they would give a nuclear weapon or nuclear materials to a terrorist group that would then explode them in a U.S. city, or that they would launch a scenario that I call in the book the Scud in the Bucket, which would be a Scud missile launcher on a tramp steamer off the coasts of the United States in the commercial shipping lanes. That would be untraceable. We would have no warning of the attack, and they would explode a nuclear weapon over one of our major cities. We wouldn't even know where it came from, and we wouldn't know how to retaliate.
And now, one of the things that in your book, which I thought was so interesting, was the relationship between the Iranians and the downing of TWA Flight 800. Would you like to develop that at all?
Yeah, again, this falls under the chapter of intelligence failures, and I expose the arrogance of the U.S. intelligence community that simply did not want to believe that there was a imminent threat from the Islamic Republic of Iran. In 1996, was dealing with this person was not a defector. He was the representative of a Iranian political party that was opposed to the regime, but it was the only political party that was more or less tolerated. They were still active inside the regime. Their leader, a man named Fudrahar, was ultimately assassinated in 1998 by the regime in his house in Tehran along with his wife. And I tell that story also in the book. But his representative here in the United States provided me with information from one of their sources in Iran, who was a senior Revolutionary Guards intelligence official, about 4 weeks before TWA 800. And he said, there's going to be an Iranian terrorist attack against a U.S. airliner coming to the United States. It will be a U.S. aircraft that is coming here from Athens. Well, I passed on the information to the intelligence community. 2 weeks later, another warning from this guy. Yes, the attack now is imminent. It's going to happen in the next 2 or 3 weeks. It's going to be a U.S. aircraft coming from Athens, and it's going to be, you know, there will be a massive attack. The whole airplane will go down. Again, I passed that one on to the intelligence community. Nothing happened. After TWA 800 went down, I spoke the people to whom I passed this information, and I spoke to others in other parts of the U.S. intelligence community, and they hit the roof. They said, you know, we had reporting coming in from two other independent streams. There were two other independent streams of reporting on the same warning, and guess what? TWA 800 originated in Athens. It flew from Athens to New York, refueled, took on passengers, and then flew back and over Long Island. It was shot down. I believe it was shot down by a missile from sea.
And of course, the thing is that they've lied to the American people, and there's so much evidence that they've lied about that. Why won't they ever tell the American people the truth?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is that Richard Clark was then the person in the National Security Council in charge of this investigation, and he was the one who directed the NTSB, the National Transportation Safety Board, to discard his thesis of a terrorist attack, even though the FBI was convinced in the beginning that it was a terrorist attack. He persuaded them to drop that investigation and look at the explosion, the potential of the explosion of the center fuel tank. The CIA then crafted this extraordinary video, which is incredible that we spent taxpayer dollars to make a fiction that could have been made in Hollywood. At any rate, I believe there should be hearings held on this. The truth should come out. The American people should learn about these various warnings and find out just how much we knew at that time and how much has been covered up.
And I think, of course, if they would lie about that, what else would they lie about? And this is what's so disturbing to me, and that's why I think your book is so important. Well, Ken, I really want to thank you so very much for being with us. I know you can only be for 20 minutes. I hope one of these times we could get you on for longer. But anyway, the book is Countdown to Crisis, the Coming Nuclear Showdown with Iran. Ladies and gentlemen, you better understand what lies ahead. Thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you, Stan.
God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless you.
will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, In Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763. 9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Have you purchased or invested in gold and silver coins or bullion in the last several years? If so, you've most likely been taken advantage of. In a lot of cases, out and out lied to. There are several tricks of the trade in play in the precious metals and collector coin markets. This is especially true during a hot market. Although it doesn't take a savvy investor to avoid the pitfalls of unscrupulous coin and metals dealers, it does take some common sense and the knowledge of which questions to ask. The asset management professionals at Colonial Resources can arm you with a few simple questions to ask your current broker or coin dealer. To find out if you've been taken advantage of, or if you're thinking of investing, call Colonial Resources toll-free, 1-800-685-4042. The precious metals and collector coin markets are hot and definitely where the smart money is heading. But before you make a mistake that could cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars, call the professionals at Colonial Resources. The call and the advice are free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I put Ken Timmerman on. Even we could only get him for 20 minutes because I think his message is so vitally important, and I think his book is very important because it should be very obvious that we are going to war with Iran, and it's going to have disastrous effects here in the United States. Now, this is going to be open line, so if you'd like to give us a call, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. How do I know that we're going to war with Iran? Why, very, very simply, you only need to read the newspapers and see all the planted articles that are being put in there. You must understand that the people who control our reality, who shape our ideas, who plant these concepts within our mentality, control the media, and they plant these articles. And then, of course, the fact that the book that Ken has written and I believe Ken Timmerman is a very sincere and an excellent individual, but the fact that it's picked up and published by a major publisher, Congressman Kurt Weldon, has come out with another book about the fact that we need to go to war with Iran, and that book is also being published by a major publisher here. I believe that's being put out by Regnery. This one is put out by Random House, that, and we're going to actually carry this book because I want you to read it, because it has so much fascinating information about the history of how they knew ahead of time the attack was coming on the Marine barracks. They intercepted the communications, and they didn't bother to tell the Marines there, so they were not prepared, so they were not on maximum security, exactly as they knew ahead of time the attack was coming on the World Trade Center. In fact, somebody even knew who was going to be on those planes, because they planted those passports there on the streets of New York and there in the field in Pennsylvania. They knew exactly what was going to happen, and they allowed it to happen. That's what's really so unconscionable. Well, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And I think you can only understand what's going on by understanding there are powerful spiritual forces out there that are moving the world towards a climax. And, you know, when, of course, we do go into World War III, and whether it'll be a full-scale war with Iran or simply an attack to knock out their nuclear facilities, I can't tell you which it's going to be, but I can tell you that Iran has signed contracts to deliver oil and for a pipeline from Iran to Pakistan to India. Iran has signed agreements and mutual defense pacts with China and with Russia. And, of course, there's Chinese and Russian and North Korean technicians that are working there and helping the Iranians develop their nuclear capacity. And when, of course, we strike those their nuclear facilities, Chinese communist and Russian communist and North Korean communists are going to be killed there. But you have to understand that there is a long-range plan, and it has always been to get us involved in World War III. This war has been planned for many, many years. And those of you who have heard our talks in the past, certainly our friend a Satanist, Bill Sneblin, had been told by Manly P. Hall, who was training him in Satanism and taking him into this whole spirit-filled world of evil, that there would be a major war coming in the Middle East. He said in 2002, he was a year off now, he told Sneblin this in the early 20s. Do I believe Sneblin? Yes, I believe Sneblin. Everything I've been able to find out about him has been accurate. And then, of course, as you read the writings of the Satanist organizations, and I subscribe to their publications, Share Magazine, publications from the Terror Center put out by the followers of Benjamin Krem, who is constant contact with what he calls the Masters of Wisdom, the spiritual hierarchy that rules the world. When you read their publications, you realize, of course, we're heading into terrible and terrible difficult times. And so you really need to understand we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought out soon on the battlefields, on the sands of the Middle East. So if you have any question or comment about this issue, about the coming war with Iran, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and we'll be glad, of course, to talk about your thoughts on these issues as they begin unfolding. But it was not simply the blowing up of the American embassy in 1983 or the blowing up of the American barracks and killing, I think, 271 Marines in October of 1983. But then, of course, they kidnapped a number of our people and tortured the station chief there. They hijacked our planes and they killed Navy SEALs with the cameras blazing. And we let those people escape. And the master, of course, the master mind behind all of this was allowed to actually escape to Iran. We've known where he was all this time. He's living and will live out his years in peace and comfort with the full security of the American government.
book is called AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991. It tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working with an organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest is no longer with us, Kenneth Timmerman, but we are going to be offering his book, Countdown to Crisis. We'd like to do some more interviews with him because I think his message is vitally important. And it's talking about the coming nuclear war with Iran. And of course, it may be simply be a nuclear strike on Iran to try to keep them from finishing off their bombs. I think they already have some bombs. We've had this from other people, Joseph Badansky, who is the chairman of the Republican Task Force on Terrorism and Unconventional Warfare, in his books and in our interviews with him, has said that they already have three or four atomic bombs they've already bought, and that they certainly are working and will very, very soon have the ability to produce many, many more nuclear weapons, which, of course, will be a threat to America because they could have worked all along with Osama bin Laden. Osama bin Laden has been in Iran most of the time, and this is the information we've gotten from a number of sources, including Joseph Badansky and others. But the CIA, oh, shucks, we just have no idea where he is. We just can't find him. And and of course the TWA went down because there was an explosion in the central fuel tank, and they've lied about all of these things. Why? Because behind everything are these dark spiritual forces we talk about that are leading the world into World War III. If you go back and you study the financing of communism, it began from the United States and Great Britain in 1918, and it continues to this very day. We're always finding one or another reason to give money to Russia. Oh, we've got to keep Osama bin Laden from getting his hands on their biological warfare material. He might even get their smallpox. Well, why don't we just tell them to destroy their smallpox? Oh, we couldn't do that. We've got to provide them money to guard their biological weapons and to destroy their chemical weapons, which they're not doing, and to dismantle their nuclear missiles, and they're building new ones. And we're giving them money under one guise or another, and American corporations are giving them fantastic amounts of money, and our banks are lending them money, and Bill Clinton wrote off $10 billion in debt. Why would we write off $10 billion of Soviet debt? Well, we're doing the same thing with Africa. We're doing everything we can today to build up the military capacity of communist China. Read the newspaper with these thoughts in mind, and suddenly you're going to be able to think independent of the control, and you're going to understand we have always created the best enemies that money could buy. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And we have Jim calling from Missouri. Hi, Jim. How are you doing?
Good. How are you, Dr. Stan?
Doing just fine. Thank you.
Just in passing, I'm sorry to hear that we had any Soviet debt. Very disappointed to learn they owed us anything, because that means we would have given them something.
Well, of course we did. We wrote off $10 billion of the debt during the Clinton administration. Why would you do something like that? Why, very simply, a lot of that debt, of course, was some of the debt went back actually to the Vietnam War, where they actually built the planes and the anti-aircraft missiles and supplied the trucks and military supplies that were used to kill our people.
I wanted to ask you, this is a follow-up from Bob Chapman's interview.
All right, go ahead.
Who was the man that he said was recently on TV, and he said he'll probably never get to be on there again?
His name was Julian Robertson.
Can you cover what he said again?
Well,
Julian?
Basically, he is in his 80s, and of course, I did not see the program. Bob Chapman says that three of his friends had actually seen the program, which is why he wrote about it. And if you go up on the internet and type in Google, Julian Robertson, May 24th, CNBC. He was on CNBC. So that's Julian Robertson, May 24th, CNBC, and you'll get the story. He was asked, of course, what he thought was going to happen. Now, here's a man who managed the money from the British royal family. He, of course, had invested for Margaret Thatcher. The rulers of the world would come to him to invest their monies. And, of course, he is very well connected. According to Bob, he is part of the establishment, the financial establishment that rules the world. But when Julian Robertson, who is now in his 80s, was asked on CNBC what's going to happen, he says we're moving into a financial collapse, into a financial crisis. And 10 years from now, why, of course, you're going to have mobs out in the streets. The barbarians will be at the gates. A third of the population will be disenfranchised and impoverished, and you're looking at a situation, in essence, of total chaos coming. Now, you would think a man of his prestige making a statement like that, it would have been written up. You'll find it on the internet, but I certainly didn't find it in any of the publications that I read regularly.
May 24th. Julian Robertson.
Right. CNBC.
CNBC.
Right. In fact, now, remember, I'm always skeptical of what other people say. And, of course, I had not yet talked to Bob and know where he had gotten his information. I thought he might have gotten it off the internet. So I put out almost $50. Don't tell my wife, of course, but I put out almost $50 to buy the video of that program. And we will be viewing it ourselves to make sure this is exactly what he said. But after, of course, finding a dozen references to it on the internet and then talking to Bob, who said he knew three people had actually seen the program, I think I'm not afraid to come on and say I think it's probably exactly what was said. Because, of course, it parallels very, very closely with what Paul Volcker, former chairman of the Federal Reserve Board, had said in an article written on April 10th in the Washington Post. And if you haven't read that, it's really well worthwhile getting. That's April 10th, the Washington Post, and Paul Volcker just said that everything, it looks very placid. I mean, things look so good. And yet, of course, beneath the surface, why, there are terrible problems. We're skating on very thin ice. And then he went on to say that, of course, there's no incidents in all history where a nation has spent 6% more than it's producing and progressively goes into debt. And pretty soon, the central banks of the rest of the world are going to stop taking our money. And then, of course, there's going to be terrible, terrible consequences. And as he said, I don't know whether it's going to be sooner or later. I don't know whether it's going to be with a bang or a whimper. But the whole system is going to come to an end. And I fear it's going to be a financial crisis. It could be prevented if we would do what was responsible. But what needs to be done is so often put off until later, and then it's too late.
You know, it's interesting. I'm part of the way in the process of taking a second full-time job just to help prepare myself.
I think that's very, very wise. You hate to do it, but you've got to get yourself out of debt.
Well, I listen to your shows, and you know that Bob Chapman doesn't sound like somebody who's prone to loose talk.
Well, I wouldn't have put him on if I thought that what he said wasn't very accurate. And if I did disagree with him, you'd certainly know. But I put Bob on because I think he's been at this even longer than I have. And I think that he's has a great overview. He knows many of these people personally. And I believe his information is accurate.
Well, I hope if I get two full-time jobs, at least one of them will hold through.
Well, don't worry yourself out. And, of course, remember, Jim, we can make all of the preparations we want to. But if we don't have a personal relationship with the Lord, and this country goes into a situation of chaos and crisis, it's only our faith that's going to get us through. So keep that in mind, because our recurrent theme is this is really a spiritual battle, being fought on a political, but even on a financial battlefield.
Was it 1972 that DDT was outlawed?
1973, as I remember.
So it was the same year as Roe versus Wade.
Right, and of course the thing is that it was in 1972 that the Club of Rome, which is the elitists, which come from the very pit of hell, one of their members at that time was Marie Strong. Of course, Gorbachev belongs today, but at that time Marie Strong was one of the leaders, and they came out with a book called The Limits of Growth. And basically it just said that we were running out of water, and we were running out of oil, and we were running out of natural resources, and there were too many people, and we were just going to have to cut back dramatically on the population. And then they had a Malthusian concept of severely limiting the population of the world. And then it was that same year that we had the first Earth Summit, chaired by none other than Marie Strong. The following year, we got Roe versus Wade, and then, of course, we got the outlawing of DDT. And then in 1994, we had National Security Study Memorandum 200, and that's up on the Internet, NSSM 200, that talks about the necessity of worldwide population control. And that has been, of course, the major thrust of the American foreign policy since then, is population control throughout the world. And we do know that even before that, in 1969, Dr. David MacArthur had testifying before the House Appropriations Committee, and I believe it was in July of 1969, had asked for $10 million to create a new disease, an entirely new disease that had never existed before, for which there'd be no immune response. And of course, we depended on the immune response to protect our bodies, and this would be a new form of mass killing. But he wanted, and many people thought we shouldn't do it, but he wanted the money anyway. And if you're out there in the listening audience and you say that couldn't be true, we'll be glad to send you a copy of his testimony before the House Appropriations Committee. Or if you'd like, of course, you get so much more information in our Hidden Agenda syllabus talking about fluoride. And we simply give you this whole sequence of documents about the genocidal agenda that's being carried out with our tax money throughout the world. And, of course, that's why this is a racial-specific disease. It hits blacks and Hispanics much more than whites. And that's why in America today, 65% of the new AIDS cases are in blacks, and why this is decimating Africa, and why it's not decimating the white population in America. It's racially specific. Anything else, Jim?
No, sir.
Okay,
that's
fine.
It. I just wanted to get a... you know, have you go over what Mr. Robertson said again.
All right, fine. Well, I hope you'll pull it down off the Internet. If you have difficulty, you can call us off the air, and we'll get it to you.
Okay? Thank you very much.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Okay, our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And we have Jim calling us from Salinas. Hi, Jim.
Hello, Dr. Stan.
How are you doing?
Oh, pretty well. I had a question for you.
All right, fine.
what you were talking about with your guest earlier about Iran.
Right.
And inevitability of war. Now, does that tie into the project for the new American century?
Absolutely. In fact, if you can find that interview, I think we have a copy of it on our... it was an interview that William Crystal did with Ted Koppel back, I believe, in 2002 on Nightline. And there he made it very, very obvious that, of course, Iraq and Afghanistan were the first steps. We were going after Iran, we were going after Syria, we were going after North Korea, we were going after Saudi Arabia. He laid it all out very, very clearly. That is part of the program of the Project for the New American Century. And if anybody doubts that the war with Iraq was planned long before the September 11th attack, that was just a convenient excuse, you go to their website, newamericancentury.org, www.newamericancentury.org, and they have posted there, at least they did a few weeks ago when I was there, the letter that they wrote to President Clinton in 1988 calling for war with Iraq.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with September 11th. That was just a convenient excuse to justify the murder that we're carrying out there today.
Yeah, the interesting thing is even the liberals are alarmed about this, because I know, like, up at KGO, Jim Gabbert and Bernie Ward are constantly talking about it.
Is it amazing when I would agree with Bernie Ward on anything? But we find that this makes strange bedfellows.
And I find also in talking to Bernie that he's been going to your website to get some of his information.
Is that really true?
Yeah.
Well, we may disagree on many, many things, but at least he's getting the information. That's the important thing. And who knows, maybe there's something on my website that might bring him back into a relationship with the Lord. You know, he's supposedly a trained theologian.
Yes. That's why KGO hired him.
Well, but of course he hates God, and if you listen to the diatribes he puts out against Christianity, at least that he used to, but he is an extremely intelligent and articulate individual, and I really feel rather sorry for him, because if you see what's going on today and you don't have a belief in God, how could you possibly face the future?
That is for sure.
Well, I thank you for letting me know that Bernie has gone to my website, and I'm really so glad that he has, because certainly the material is there. And for our listeners out there, it's simply radioliberty.com, and if you could pull down the various articles we've done in relationship to the Project for the New American Century, and certainly the background of the war with Iraq, you'll find out that this war was planned long before the September 11th attack. It was just very, very fortuitous that it occurred. Anything else you'd like to ask or say, Jim?
Well, you implied earlier, and I think I understood you correctly, that there was some degree of foreknowledge that September 11th was going to happen before it happened.
Absolutely.
So is this a situation like with World War II, Pearl Harbor was allowed to happen,
right,
in order to be a pretext to get us into the war with Japan and Germany? Is this the same deal? 9/11 was allowed to happen as a pretext to get us into all these wars that PNAC wanted?
Absolutely. In fact, the story you heard, I don't know if you heard my whole interview with Kenneth Timmerman, but he had actually gotten in touch with a gentleman who had been very high with Iranian intelligence. His name was Zakari. And he had actually gone to the American CIA months beforehand. He was approached the CIA headquarters. We had a headquarters there in Azerbaijan, and told them about the attack. He even told them the day it was coming, and it was ignored. If you've not seen my video, it's called the 911 Contrived. 911 Contrived. And there I tell you, that we give you the documentation for several other instances where Iranians, even several days before the attack, had contacted the American FBI and intelligence agencies and saying, the attack is coming. We know from Eleanor Hill's testimony in the 18th of September 2000, anybody out there who would like to get a copy of the page from her testimony before the Senate Intelligence Committee, Senate House Intelligence Committee, that in April of 2000, one of the hijackers actually defected to the FBI and walked into the office in Newark, New Jersey, and said, I'm part of a team of hijackers, and we're trained to hijack your 747s, and we're going to get them, and we're going to crash them, you know. And, of course, if you read the Paul Thompson's Timeline for Terror, well, there, of course, he mentions that they were going to crash them into our buildings. Now, this is never, never, never mentioned. And yet it's there in the government testimony of Eleanor Hill. How could you suppress that from the American people? Well, if the American people knew that they knew the attack was coming and they left those people there to die, just like they knew the attack on the Murrah building in Oklahoma City was going to take place and they left the people there to die, and of Waco they sent in a special forces team to kill the women and children. And if you don't believe that, why, we've got a wonderful video where you actually see the people who talk to the people from special forces. It's called Waco, A New Revelation. But the information's there. We're dealing with organized evil. And until we recognize that, we really can't recognize what's going on. Hey, we're out of time, Jim. Thanks so much for calling.
You're welcome. Thank
Bye-bye.
You, Dr. Stan.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Our four-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of an American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we're going to be offering this book. I think it's a very important book. It's called Countdown to Crisis, The Coming Nuclear Showdown with Iran. I think it's important because here you'll find that Rafsanjani, who is, of course, one of the lead terrorists working in Iran today, one of the head mullahs, he has his son operating a businesses over in Las Vegas and in Canada. And we even made a special concession, Clinton did, so that he could bring his pistachios in here. He's a major exporter of pistachios to the United States. We're doing everything we can to help this master terrorist. Why would we do that? Why would we be protecting Osama bin Laden, who's staying in Iran, rather than demanding? After all, we attacked Afghanistan because they were harboring Osama bin Laden. And of course, we've heard from several sources that Osama is over there in Iran. Or maybe, of course, if we were to get Osama bin Laden, how would we justify continuing our war on terrorism? And if you want to understand this, this is a fascinating book. It goes into the fact that we knew ahead of time that the attack was coming on TW-800, and the government obviously lied. Now, we have a wonderful video on that. It's called Silence. It goes into the background. It's actually, you'll actually see the testimony in Washington, D.C., testimony before the aviation section on the downing of TW-800. You hear the government officials lying and telling you what the witnesses said, but they never called the witnesses to testify. Why do you think that was? Because they lied about what the witnesses had said about the downing of TW-800. Fascinating video. It's called Silence. We recommend that. But we also recommend this book, Countdown to Crisis, The Coming Nuclear Showdown with Iran. Ladies and gentlemen, we're being drawn into a war. They're going to draft your sons and daughters and your grandsons and granddaughters. Are you concerned? Are you willing to take a stand and get informed and help us get the truth out in the spiritual battle that's being fought for the survival of Western civilization, the souls of men? If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. You can get the book by itself, $12.95, or you can get, of course, the special with the video and the audio tape, and we want you really to get that, mainly because we want you to copy the video and copy the audio tape and get people to listen and understand the true spiritual nature of the battle in which we're engaged. And then, of course, we hope that you'll want to get some of the other things we have, like The War on Freedom, an excellent book. Goes into the background of the 9/11 attack, Timeline for Terror, of which is Paul Thompson's excellent book. And then, of course, we have a four-tape set, two-hour interview with Paul Thompson, two-hour interview with Jimmy Walters, who spent millions of dollars of his own running advertisements in New York City and throughout New York State, telling people that the government has been lying to them about what happened on 9/11. That's the 9/11 update. It's a four-tape set. We recommend that. My talk, 9/11 Contrived. Even if I gave it some time ago, that was a lot of great new information, but there's information there that you'll never hear any other place. It's called 9/11 Contrived, and it's a video that we did for the Prophecy Club. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We do hope that many of you, of course, would want to go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. You can pull down the various tapes we have there. You can certainly pull down the archive programs we have. You can listen to our internet programs 5 hours a day there or through links. You can actually, of course, go to our archives and listen to many of our programs. Listen to this one. It'll be archived there before long. We ask you, of course, to tell others about our programs and to encourage them to listen. And then we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and ministers. But please don't forget to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection, because we're on the front lines of this truly spiritual battle which is being waged today. And it's a conscious effort to undermine and destroy Christianity. They've infiltrated our churches. They've infiltrated our schools. They control our great foundations, our government, our great corporations. But let's stay on God's side. Till tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.